Got it. It's a Friday. As is his wont, Tom not here. So that means you call somebody who has really... It's always sad, Jacob, because it's like you fish around, try to find somebody. And so, you know, it's like picking teams. Okay, we're going to pick teams. The person with their hand up, me, pick me. You feel like an obligation to pick them, but you know that picking them is probably just, you know...
Not strategically beneficial to the team.
No, it works out for them, but not necessarily for you. It's because it's like, God, they're so anxious, and makes you feel sort of sorry for them. Like... Hey, Sherry, hang on. Let me just keep dumping on you. I say this. Pre-show meeting, Jacob always goes, oh, Sherry, thanks for doing this. And you're like, oh, no problem. Like, I could certainly use the medical and dental.
I'm just very cooperative. I'm easy to work with.
No, you don't want to play that way. You want to play hard to get. It's like, yeah, maybe I won't. How long you need me on for? We're like 4 hours. See what I can do for the first 20.
Okay.
All right.
You're in charge. You're the new coach for me.
That's right. So, hey, we're picking teams. Just be in the back, just kicking dirt. Spitting tobacco into a Dr. Pepper can.
I don't want that.
You know who always steps up? No matter what the story is, it's like, okay, Hannah Scott, this is going to be your beat. You're going to cover everything. You will cover every single story. Why is that still playing? Jacob, help me. Jacob, get rid of that. Hang on, everybody. This is the fun part about doing a show remotely from a tool shed. Hang on. You ready? Hannah, get in here. Now we got everything worked out. Woo! Yeah, Hannah, so you cover every single story. Why is this particular one making so much news when people go, oh, no. The drug possession thing, we still have other things on the book. This is just, if you don't know that you had the drugs, they can't charge you with the crime. Is that basically the way it all boils down?
Right, but there's big implications. So I talked to prosecutors last night and also the chair of the House Public Safety Committee. And the sense is that this is going to have this massive ripple effect that it's going to affect thousands of cases and anybody who was just the only crime that they were picked up on was simple possession. This is going to negate all of those cases. And there's this big ripple effect that if you know, we have this thing in the state called an offender score. So if you were busted for your second or third or fourth crime or whatever it is and you got sentenced based on your offender score, which was calculated based on your prior offenses. But if your prior offenses, one and two, were simply simple possession, then you have to, I don't even know how you unpack that. That was a lot of the concern I heard last night, because that means whatever you're serving right now, if you're in serving time, is not going to be accurate or constitutional for that matter.
Oh, I see.
Lot going on there. First, yeah. I spoke with Snohomish County Prosecutor Adam Cornell about the impact of this issue.
It's a monumental decision that will have a sweeping effect for law enforcement officers and prosecutors throughout all the 39 counties.
So, and part of that is, as we heard from Seattle police almost immediately after this came down yesterday, is that, yeah, we aren't going to be stopping people. We can't arrest people for simple possession anymore, and we can't do anything, can't search them. A lot of times this was used as a probable cause, right? If they found a little bit of baggie or something on somebody, then they'd search wider, and maybe they led to another crime. That can't happen anymore under this. So that's another big part of the implications.
Hold on a second. The case was this woman had a pair of jeans that she got from a friend of hers. And in the jeans, she was unaware of the fact that there was meth in there, right? Is that the story?
Yeah, it was in the little coin pocket of her jeans. There was a little baggie of meth in there. And she's like, hey, it's not mine. My friend was at the, you know, thrift store and bought these a couple of days ago and it didn't fit.
Okay.
She gave them to me. I didn't know it was there.
Okay, so then she gets pulled over, the cops get her, they find the meth, and she says, I didn't know. So is this case stemming from the fact that somebody can say, hey, that's not mine, that was in somebody, I don't know where that came from. So is that the excuse, and is that why police are not going to be charging anybody with possession anymore?
Yeah, the actual problem is the flaw here is that the law does not require prosecutors to prove that the person knowingly or intentionally had the drugs on them. That's it right there.
Okay.
So, Hannah, if people have been convicted already and they've served time, let's say, for possession, does that throw out their conviction? Does that redo that for them?
Yes, to some degree. And the confusion I was hearing last night is we don't know how far retro that's going to be. Where it's, you know, do we go back a year? Do we go back 5 years? I know prosecutors I talked to yesterday are going back at least a year on their own with their own staff, looking through those and then going to do the right thing. And they're going to release or, you know, do whatever needs to happen for those people. And it could go further than that. I mean, someone would have the legal basis to challenge anything that they're serving time on still if it's directly related to only that simple possession charge. So that's the key. You've got to have just that one charge for that small amount. If you have another charge tacked on associated with that, then this doesn't make any difference to that, if you understand what I mean.
Okay, without throwing you off, do you have more sound from this, or can we just
I have all kinds of sound. Let's see.
Okay,
I
keep
do.
Going.
Let's go with, this is more from Adam Cornell on what the impact looks like.
My office, and I gather other offices around the state, are setting about determining which defendants are charged with simple possession of controlled substance cases or who have recently been sentenced for simple possession of controlled substance cases and are working quickly to do the right thing and to dismiss pending cases and dismiss cases where there are outstanding warrants for people's arrests where the standalone charge is possession of a controlled substance. So it's has a wide-ranging effect for the way that we do business as prosecutors. For cops, they're not going to be able to arrest individuals on probable cause where the only basis for the probable cause is a simple possession crime. So that's it's very significant. And to say nothing about.
So to say nothing, what he goes on to talk about there is people who that I was talking to you about the offender score and that being racked up and you being in jail because of that simple possession charge longer because of your past. So that's what he was going into there. I also spoke with House Public Safety Chair Roger Goodman last night, and he said the basic result of the ruling is?
I mean, if there's an urgent concern for the health, welfare, and safety of the state, there, you know, we might reach agreement to amend the law, but there's no guarantee right now.
That's him talking about whether or not the legislature can act, because we saw King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg issued a statement last night calling on the legislature to act quickly to fix this knowingly, intentionally wording in the law and get this dealt with, right? So we don't have all these, because essentially right now we have no law on the books at all. So everybody can do whatever they want as far as simple possession goes. And this is Roger Goodman, chair of the House Public Safety Committee, saying, I don't know if we can do that right now. There's a lot going on. And he wants to, you know, do their due diligence, read through the big long ruling. And I've talked to others just today that don't necessarily think that's the right way to go. One thing that both Cornell and Goodman agreed on is that something needs to be done quickly for more reasons.
There's also the question of drug courts, because people who are in drug court probably did something else but pled but agreed to be charged with simple possession to gain access to drug court. So there's a lot of drug court participants who arguably might be free to leave. They're not able to be coerced by the court into the program. And then a number of drug treatment, substance use treatment facilities who receive court-ordered clients, again, might not be able to keep them in a secure setting.
We currently have 8 people in our drug court who are in drug court based on a simple possession charge, and they're going to be terminated from drug court because there's no longer a viable prosecution. So those are 8 people that are not going to be getting services that are available to them by drug court.
And that's the killer right there. So you've got all this work that's been done for years to try to get people into substance abuse disorder treatment and things like that, and they're going to lose that opportunity. Those who want it, those who don't want it, that are there by force, and that's going to be a big problem on our streets. That was the big concern that I heard from everyone I spoke to last night. It's also the reason why State Senator Mark Mullett is out with a fix in a bill that he just dropped today.
I do think it's time sensitive. I think you'd want to have something you'd want to pass the legislature as quickly as possible to clarify. We don't want to just have full legal drug possession in the state of Washington. I mean, my point is, I think we need to have a serious discussion with my colleagues in Olympia next week about it, and I find it easier to have a serious discussion if you have a bill out there that everyone can see. So I have done that. I put a bill out there that everybody can see. I think it's a super simple way to clarify that the intent of the legislature was not to just have every drug be legal in the state of Washington. The intent of the legislature, I think, is that it's a very fair criticism that people who were unknowingly in possession were going to jail. And so this fixes that.
His message to fellow lawmakers?
Let's have the discussion. Yeah. Time is of the essence. Let's get it down and figure this out. We're all here. I think our frustration, you know, during the pandemic is all these things were happening while we weren't in session. At least this happened while we were in session. So we can actually deal with it while we're in Olympia.
So there you go.
Hannah, while all this is going on and when this first broke 2 hours ago, I was trying to figure out if you have no intent to sell or you don't have a certain amount to redistribute through sale, the simple possession is one of the lowest forms when they catch you with it. Don't most guys, simple possession, you got an eight ball, you're not going to go try to sell it to anybody. It's too small of an amount. It's for personal use. Don't they just plead that out and you walk out again? I mean, if you have enough, that's the bigger problem. Those are the guys that end up doing more time. They're going to they have enough and they're selling it. Those are the ones they get, right?
Those are the ones who end up doing more time, but they
right.
What you're saying though, the ones who do plead out, and that's usually on a first or second offense. Sometimes if it's a small possession, those are the ones that end up in drug court, right? Those are the ones that were trying to get help and get off this, you know, get help with the substance use disorder and all of that. But there's also other crimes often that are attached to this, or they might plead down to simple possession. It's so wide ranging, and there's no clear definition of what in this that came out yesterday of what that small amount is. It's a big deal, and there's also the competing forces going on. I can't remember if I talked about it with you guys. I think we did. There's the bill right now going that's in Olympia to decriminalize small personal amounts of drugs. Right. So the one other thing that I'm hearing from everyone involved in this is that. Please, legislature, also fix this law, but please put in the budget, when you do the budget, a lot of money for treatment, because that's the only thing that's going to deal with this when we're talking about the small personal use amounts, because that's going to be your people who are addicted.
Yeah.
Do you know, Hannah, if any other states have dealt with this dilemma?
Yeah, every other state has dealt with this dilemma. I was blown away when I saw this. Every other state has already addressed this kind of issue in their law. We are the last state that had this wording.
And if you could speak to, it was the 5-4 decision, the four that dissented, why did they hold back? Do you know?
And it's different. There's one who dissented, and I did know, and I'm sorry. I'm not confident enough to speak on it right now because I've been buried in the other side of it. But I know there was one dissent, and then the others had a different type of opinion, but it wasn't a dissent.
Got it. Okay. You have so much to talk about, but we are going to let you go because we've got the gun stuff. I mean, and the amount of time for you to get into it. Okay. 2 minutes. Can you hit any one of those additional topics regarding guns? I know that they were talking about they were able to strike down the idea of open carry. It was if you're carrying a gun, open carry, and all of a sudden a protest suddenly springs up all around you and you're carrying a gun while the protest is going on, there would be a law that would then find you in violation. Right? Weren't they able to get that knocked away?
Not knocked away. The open carry bill did pass the Senate. That happened. Uh-huh. My days are running together. It was yesterday, I believe, that happened. And but there was some changing in the distance requirements in that law that I think addressed that issue. Because when we heard it was in committee, we heard from a lot of people, homeowners, who had been over this last year with the George Floyd protests and stuff, caught up in protests that just happened to be around their homes, and they were not going to be allowed to have guns and defend themselves under this law. So they were worried they were going to be criminalized. That seems to have been addressed with this bill that they've kind of tweaked a little bit now, but it's still a significant deal. It's still going to be a crime if you're caught inside of a protest, and you know it's not on your property, but if you know close to your property, you could still be caught up in that. And also it's a big for the Republicans who spoke during the debate on the Senate floor on this, it was a very big Second Amendment issue. It was a personal rights issue that they felt was being infringed upon, and they felt this was unnecessary. A lot of what I'm hearing on this particular law is that this and a lot of the police reform bills going through is that this is all this knee-jerk reaction, like you see in Seattle with the Democrats pushing through this legislation and taking advantage of the things that we've seen over the last year to try to push through things that they've always wanted. And that there's, you know, because part of the open carry bill is not just protest, it's also banning the open carry anywhere on the Capitol campus and making it that crime. It's a gross misdemeanor if you don't, if you're caught doing that in the protests or on the Capitol campus. There does have a warning. There's a warning included that's added to the bill. So you get that one chance. Okay, get your AR-15 off the Capitol campus. Go on. And then if you don't listen, then you can get that crime against you.
So while in the midst of your First Amendment rights of peaceful assembly,
yes,
you give up your Second Amendment.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. So that's still moving along. One thing that's interesting is that we're rapidly approaching cutoff here. I think we have a week or so left to pass things out of their house of origin. The bill that I've not seen come up yet is the ban on so-called high-capacity magazines that our Attorney General Bob Ferguson is strongly pushing for, I want to say, the fifth straight year. And I thought it might pass. I don't see it yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's a wonderfully symbolic bill. Hannah, you did it. You took up the whole 21. They said, could she have done it? Sherry said, no. I said, yes. I said, Hannah can do it, cover many topics all at the same time. Yeah, of course. Come on now.
Happy Friday, guys.
Thank you, Hannah. There she goes. We never got to the story that Sherry was so desperate to do, which is the fact that McDonald's is now selling clothing. So
That's right.
Hard-hitting story will be coming up shortly.
Food fashion.
Wow, look at you, taking over for Tom.
Sort of.
Jumping in there. It's Jesse Jones.
Sorry to the kids out there.
Yeah, don't mess up his name. You know, he'll come over to your house. He's going to start knocking at the door.
He's Jesse.
He's like everybody from 60 Minutes, you know, Mike Wallace, all that old crew, be like, hi, I'm Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes. Can I talk to you for a minute? And they're like, oh, that's Jesse all rolled up into one. He shows up at your door. It's either going to be really good for you, like he's going to get some justice, or justice is coming looking for you. I see.
Oh, no. Jesse, I'm so sorry.
That's right. Kiel Mortgage, 1-888-778-KIEL, the ones to get to, especially when a refinance right now. Mortgage rates historically low, but they are slowly creeping up. Kiel Mortgage, the ones to talk to. Two fun stories. The first one having to do with the fact that this is a great study out of the Netherlands. It says that parents of daughters who are more likely to be divorced are more likely to divorce than those with sons. So mom and dad have a daughter, they're more likely to call it quits than if mom and dad have a son. Or if mom and dad have a daughter first and then have a son second, are they still more likely to get divorced? Sherry, I ask you.
Yes. So it's really interesting. So studies conducted back in the 80s suggested this very same thing, that if the firstborn is a daughter, they're more likely to divorce. But they called it son preference. In other words, it's because guys really wanted a boy and they really got frustrated and thought, OK, I'm out of here because I don't want a bunch of girls. But what they found now is that the divorce rate raises gets higher as the children get older. So it's usually around teenage years, like 13, 14, 15, that the parents with the firstborn girl get divorced. So the theory is if a guy's going to stick around 13 or 14 years, it's not because he doesn't have a son. It has more to do with the conflict that's created with having a teenage daughter and the difficulty that they might have, the parents might have, with agreeing on how to raise her or what to do with her. And it also kind of goes into the whole idea that, you know, sons don't get nearly as much scrutiny as daughters do.
Do they also, so explain to me the birth order in your family.
Two girls. And my parents have been married 66 years.
So you are the outliers. Yes.
There is one other little thing. If the father has a sister, then the whole thing is negated. it doesn't count at all. So if the man is has two daughters, let's say, or firstborn daughter, and has a sister, everything's peachy.
And in your case, did your father have a sister? And was it Colonel Mustard in the study with the candlestick?
Negative. He did not. He had two brothers. So
I see. So there the conversation comes to a screeching halt. I had heard from friends that the greatest influence on the daughter is the father. That if you want to be able to create a healthy, full, loving, compassionate, understanding, intelligent, savvy, whatever, it is the father's influence on the daughter is the greatest influence. Because then that kid goes out there into the world and normally marries the opposite sex parents and tries to find somebody like dad. Now, unfortunately, she could try to find somebody like dad, and dad might just be a horrible person, but it's more likely, you know, that's what she understands as love. Love is really what is familiar. So then she goes out and it's like she gets a guy and just like her father. And then she ends up kind of repeating a lot of those sort of same cycles. But if the dad is good and has a good relationship, although they say that it's extremely a lot of conflict. Did you have lots of conflicts with your father or little or none? Because your dad was too busy practicing for the Washington Redskins racist marching band.
I knew you'd bring that up. No, I didn't have any conflict with my dad at all. My dad was a workaholic. My mom kind of did all the disciplining and things like that. So, no, my dad was very passive and very kind and sweet and just a great guy. You know, I have a great relationship with my dad. So I think you're right about that.
Did your mother ever have to say, wait till your father comes home, and then the two of you just break down in laughter?
Well, he kind of, a little bit, like she would say that. She would say, you know, you're going to speak to your father about this. And then my dad would be like, you know, oh, man, what are we going to do? Your mom's all mad. What are we going to, we got to figure this out. You know, he was more like one of us than on, you know, he was on our side.
And now for final Sherry question.
Okay.
Did you marry some, is your husband the one you've got now? I don't know how many you've had. Is he like your dad?
No, he's nothing like my dad. He is incredibly opinionated. He's very strong. He's my dad was an intellectual, you know, so he liked books and things like that and talking about politics and great works and things like that. My husband is
Wait, hold on a second. When you say your dad was an intellectual, is that just a nice way of saying he's not athletically inclined? Is that just another way around it? Huh?
Well, no, he played tennis, but he didn't. But he wasn't handy. Like my husband could do anything. My husband's like MacGyver. You know, he can fix anything. He's complete, 100% capable. My dad couldn't do any of that stuff. You know, he wasn't interested even a little bit in that. So in that way, they're not alike at all.
Yeah, it is something your father hands down to the son, which is mechanical abilities. My father always was amazed at the number of screws, bolts, washers that were left over. He says, why do they give us so many extra stuff? I think those things are necessary, Dad. You know, they make these things dingbat. That was a big word, dingbat. They make these things dingbat proof. And one day when he put in an air conditioning unit, which was one of those heavy ones, now it's discouragingly referred to as a hobo box. That's what my niece is called. How embarrassing. We've got hobo boxes hanging out in the front back of the house. The big, heavy air conditioning unit, which my father put in. And as he's putting it in, I'm like, how about these big bag of, Dad, how about all this? Got a big bag of like screws and bolts. And, you know, it's right here. It's in this baggie here, Dad. There's washers and, you know, counter screws. And you need like a bunch of tools. And he's like, hey, listen, that is for homes that don't have heavy windows. This house was built in 1910. The windows are heavy. You don't need to worry about it. And I'm like, really? So he just puts the giant air conditioning unit into the window and then brings the heavy window down on top of it, turns it on, and he says, look, it's got like six speeds. I said, turn it on high. It'll cool Lori's room off faster. So he puts it on high. We're both standing there watching it as it... He goes, look at that. It's cooling off already. And as it's shaking, the window opens up, and the last thing we see is pew! Is the cord pulling out of the wall. Yes. Oh, yeah. And falling two stories down onto the back deck where Lori was sunbathing just a few feet away with a Peter Frampton double album wrapped in aluminum foil, her face covered in baby oil, so she could begin the first treatments of skin cancer. And when the air conditioning unit hit like 10 feet from her, Lori's blessed line of her entire life is, "Huh, I'm starting to feel cooler already."
I'm surprised your dad didn't say, "Do you want a washer or an air?" You know how it like...
Yeah.
Do you want a screw?
Some people like a counter screw. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Like
what happened to that thing?
They like vanilla.
There he is.
Yeah.
You like summer? They like winter.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Jacob, I'm going to send you the rest of it because it goes on for 10 minutes. Okay. And it could take up an entire segment until people start to choose what they like best. You like Cairo Radio with a long segment about my father giving explanations? You like a knitting needle in your ear. All right. Here we go. The know-it-all quiz is coming up today. I was supposed to do it yesterday, but I spaced on having to write it. Got one today. Hope it doesn't get us in any trouble. I sent that to Jacob again. And since I make it and I send it to him. And then if he ends up serving it, in effect, it's like bad pork. Trichinosis is never, it's the guy that hands it to you. Right, Sherry? Isn't that generally the rule on? Yeah. Okay. So it's on Jacob at that point. We'll do the know-it-all quiz coming up around 5:30. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. You text as well. The State Roofing text line at 989073. Do love to hear from you. Going to the movies in the pandemic. It is the best $99. Boy, this person bought a lot of popcorn that you will ever spend.
Yes.
It's this person went to one of the massive 16-theater monstrosities that's with a huge parking lot to go in there. And was there anybody else in the movie theater?
Well, what he did was he was actually a guest. This guy's writing about the fact that he lives in New Jersey, and a friend of his rented the AMC Theater in New Jersey, in one of the cities there, for $99. AMC is starting this thing now where to try to get people back into the theater and to try to get people to come back to watch movies, you can have 20 of your friends come in for $99. And they will show classics, okay? You can't see regular movies. That'll cost you $250. But if you want to spend the $99, you can go in. There's a whole bunch of movies that you can pick from. They picked School of Rock. And things aren't included, like concessions and things like that. For $100, you can actually rent a microphone and announce guests as they come in. I don't know anybody that would do that. But AMC's revenues fell to $941.5 million. That's down 22% in 2020. Uh-huh. So they're doing anything they can to try to get the movie experience going again for people.
And they probably have the lights off where the concession stand is, and then have like a sheet oddly draped over something. And the popcorn machine is, there's nothing in it. It's very clean. And you can't, there's no snow caps or whatever those things are, nonpareils, and you can't get to any candy. That's half the experience of going to the movies, isn't it?
Oh, contraire. No, they have the whole deal. You can get concessions.
Oh, they do?
You can get candy. Oh, yeah. It's the full movie experience. Yeah, they'll let you do all that. It's not that sad. I mean, it's actually like going to the movies. You're just paying a lot more. And when you consider, you can do the math for me, 20 people divided into 99, that's not that bad.
No, that's not bad at all. You do the math basically is a way of saying I can't do the math. Are you a movie theater goer? I tend not to go. I watch them on planes. Tom goes to them all the time. And then it always makes fun of, like, the last movie I had seen was, I think, Ordinary People. That's the last one I actually saw at a movie theater.
Wow.
No,
I love the movies. And I think it's because I love to eat. I love the popcorn and all of that. So that might be part of it, that I'll go see any movie just to have the experience of eating the popcorn and sitting there. And the Cine Bistros, those are the best.
Oh, yeah. Those are the worst.
Dinner?
You're eating shrimp scampi, and the it's on a plate in front of you, and it's all over your lap, and in the dark, and you can't tell where the tail is. You get like a shrimp scampi tail, and then the person next to you throws up all over you.
No, it's great. They even give you popcorn in a real bowl, so you don't have one of those cardboard containers. They give it to you like you would make at home. It's the best.
No. No. Wow. I just have this image of you in there just eating, watching movie after movie, going and sitting with strangers. Are you going to finish that? Eating a tuna fish sandwich just snuck in. All right.
Yeah.
Tracy
eating
Taylor, I think you and Sherry should... Off the floor. You and Sherry should go to the movies together. You guys sound like sisters.
Well, I
would love to. I mean, for the one, I really enjoy going to the movie theater where they serve you drinks and food because, you know, quite frankly, that's the only way that I want to see a movie these days. Just saying.